Hello and welcome to the IRPP's Interview with the Author series. My name is Shirley Cardenas, and today we are joined by my guest, Professor Elka Winter. Elka Winter is an associate professor at the University of Ottawa. Her new study entitled Becoming Canadian, Making Sense of Recent Changes to Citizenship Rules, evaluates policy changes against the backdrop of international debates on naturalization and citizenship. Welcome, Professor Winter. So since 2006, the government introduced a number of policy changes to Canada's citizenship rules. Essentially, how have these recent changes impacted the naturalization process?
So first, there was a new citizenship guide that was created, which was substantially longer than the one that was implemented first by the Liberals in 1995. It also had more emphasis, was much more prescriptive language, and it has more emphasis on British institutions, values, and the monarchy. Second, the initiatives against the fraudulent acquisition of citizenship were introduced. The citizenship ceremony was modified in the sense that there is now a significant presence of the military in the room. Then finally, the language requirements for Canadian citizenship were tightened. Now, the government requires at the moment of application that applicants put in the results of a standardized test unless they have been schooled in Canada. The changes definitely make Canada's citizenship more restrictive. De facto, the naturalization process has become longer and much more cumbersome within the past decade. And as I said, it is an impact that the less educated and those unfamiliar with learning a European language, English or French, are mostly affected with.
Now, in your study, you mentioned there's been a potentially troublesome shift in the way access to Canadian citizenship is presented. Can you tell us about this?
Yes, I would argue in that the changes, as I said, that have been made, they are very much on the bureaucratic level and the social cursus level. Very little has been passed in law yet, although that has been announced. But on the discourse level, it's really though that immigrants and newcomers are presented as potentially fraudulent and mischievous. And I think that is troubling unless the government provides us with strong data on that, because it threatens the rest, or it kind of, creates a kind of an insecurity among the rest of the population. I mean, I don't want people to achieve Canadian citizenship in a fraudulent way. So in that sense, it creates that kind of a backlash, or it risks creating a backlash in the general population, which could then lead to stigmatization of newcomers for no reason. So in that sense, I find it troublesome, and also it seems that some groups are more targeted than others. Some cultures are portrayed as being potentially barbaric, not being mistreating their women. There has been the idea that the citizenship can no longer the oath cannot be taken with the face covered. We kind of understand which groups may be at issue here, although the government has never pronounced it in that way. But obviously, these new citizens themselves told me, and that is outside. That's not in the study. It's something in addition. When I spoke with did a study on new citizens, they felt screened at the citizenship ceremonies. And also, if that is really a risk, I think we should have the data on that and see is that really is that a huge amount of people coming and trying to take the citizenship oath without with their faces covered before we actually announce that and kind of stir up some kind of mistrust in everybody.
Now, you also raise a few concerns about the increased emphasis in, for example, the citizenship guide and elsewhere on Canada's military history, British traditions, and monarchy. Can you explain?
Yes, I would say that, if we really argue that, if you may, think of about the moment that Trudeau famously announced the policy stating that there was no official culture and no ethnic group should take precedence over any other. I think many of us have always been aware, and maybe, that the British and French-Canadian culture were de facto dominant. I think that goes without saying. I have the impression that from the data that I analyzed, that on both sides of the linguistic divide, this de facto dominance is in the process of being made official. There is a much stronger emphasis on the British traditions and the monarchy, and it's almost though, although the government has never gone so far, but it, you know, if we belong between the lines, it has always been so as if immigrants are asked now to leave their identities at the door, and that is. I'm speaking as an academic, so this may be something that Canadians start to want, and that is, we should have a national discussion on that. On the other hand, it seems that this could actually be run counter the, you know, if it runs counter the essence of multiculturalism, then we should remind ourselves what research has shown that multiculturalism does. Namely, it kind of gives immigrants an incentive to become Canadian. It gives immigrants an impression that they're welcome. It incites them to give back to those who welcome them with you know, warmly. And if we start to move, go beyond that, or kind of move away from that approach, then it is not quite clear what the consequences might be.
And finally, what are some of your key messages for policymakers?
I think Canada's moving from a model where citizenship acquisition is viewed as an important step within an ongoing process of integration towards a model that depicts naturalization as the first prize. And so then it's kind of the end of successful integration. And I'm not sure that this is, research on the international level shows that this might not be a good way. Canada has always been heralded for having a fairly fast naturalization process, which was integrative. So within this first prize approach, immigrants are then also tested on skills and achievements such as the knowledge of French and English, familiarity with Canadian history, physical presence in the countries, economic self-sufficiency, and so on. And in a way, these are meant to be proxies that pretend to measure integration and loyalty. But it's doubtful that they really do. And then because this approach is also much more stratified by socioeconomic background and arguably, as I mentioned before, ethnocultural origin than kind of the original model. I think that research in other countries has shown that you cannot force newcomers to become patriotic. You can only entice them. And here, as I said before, the policy of multiculturalism has so far been as a kind of an accompagnant of immigration and citizenship policy, has quite worked quite well and has worked in Canada's favor. And we have really, at the level of immigration policy, a model in the world that selects migrants very strongly on basis of kind of their economic contributions to the country. So we select immigrants on a very rational basis. And in order to turn these rationally selected immigrants into, you know, good citizens, patriotic citizens, I think that we should at least have a national discussion or in Parliament or, you know, kind of a broader discussion if we want to move away from multiculturalism, because it has been a counterbalance towards that very rational and economically driven immigration selection. And I fear that if we're going to go away from it, we may not be happy with the integration outcomes that that actually we want to produce. So that is what I would like policymakers to take into account and maybe collect more data or rethink certain approaches.
Thank you very much for your time today, Professor Winter. Alka Winter is the author of Becoming Canadian, Making Sense of Recent Changes to Citizenship Rules. You can download this study free of charge from our website at irpp.org.